Hopkin, Ayin Hay, here in Brooklyn, New York. Thanks to the generosity of Rabbi Khan, who has given us the permission to use his shul again, with the air conditioning and everything that is involved, and especially Yashikoyach, of course, goes to our main organizer for our New York shiur, to Ari Profesorsky, the Yashikoyach. And the fact that Baruch Hashem I'm able to continue the Thursday night shiur here in America is very much due to Ari's dedication, and I really appreciate it. We're holding Parshas Dvarim. This week's Parshas Dvarim, Parshas Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, Tisha B'Av, Shabbos Chazon. The time of year where Jewish people all over the world are outwardly expressing their mourning. What's going on inwardly might be a different story, but at least outwardly it was sporting beards. Outwardly, we're not listening to music. The question is, what's going on inwardly? That's a very deep question. And I'll explain what I mean. Eilu advorim ashadibe moishal kol Yisrael be'eva hayadim b'midbar b'arava molsuv b'imporim b'intoifu b'lovim b'chaseiros b'dizov. The parasha starts off, Moshe Rabbeinu starts off Mishneh Torah, the last chumish of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. It's called Mishneh Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is now on the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael, waiting with Klal Yisrael to go in. Obviously, he is not given the permission to go in. And Moshe Rabbeinu understands this is the apropos time, it's the right time to leave Klal Yisrael with a charge, to leave Klal Yisrael with his teichocha, reproof. Give them a direction for the rest of their life, for the rest of their journey to Eretz Yisrael, which he will not participate in. And that's what reproof is. Teichocha is teichocha. The purpose of teichocha is to show the right way. It's not, as we said many times, teichocha is not to put down the person. Teichocha is not. Its purpose is not, when we give reproof, when we give chastisement, we're not there to embarrass the person, to put him down, to belittle him. The purpose of teichocha, the word of teichocha word means teichocha, v'loshon hoichocha, to bring proof, reproof, to bring proof, to clarify, to give, present a clear picture to the one you're giving it to, that he should now have a clarity in the lifestyle that he's living, to know the right direction, to clarify the way for him. If he's gone on a mistaken route, he's tripped up, he's stumbled a little bit, he's got a little dirtied himself. So you show him, you present to him, you give him a clear picture of the right way. That's what teichach is. Not to force him to do something, not to punish him. Teichach, teichach, to mochiach to him, to show him clearly and definitely that this is the right way of life. And his job now is to make the move. You're not responsible for making the move. But a person hoichiach, teichach, as amisecha, it's not necessary, even though there are certain dinim, which is a different, there is a certain aspect, but the essence of the Allah, Hukhiyah to Hukhiyah, is keep trying to show him a few 100 times, the Chazal say, show him, clarify of him, and hopefully he'll get the point that his ways are a little mistaken, he's going a little bit in a slanted route, try to bring him towards the middle. But very interesting to note, Eila Dvorim Ashadiba Mushal Kol Yisrael. Chazal tell us that he spoke to all of Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael tell us, Rashi says, why was he speaking to Kol Yisrael? Because he would have only given this reproof, he would have only gave it to a small amount, a little minority of Klal Yisrael. So other factions in the crowd would say, if we were there, we would have answered Moshe Rabbeinu. We would have answered his tainus. We would have his reproof. He tried to correct us. We would have explained our point, our way. If a Klai, he gathered them all together and he gave them this Tuchach. So says Rashi. I always wanted to say another taich maybe. This pshat and this Eil Dvarim Al Kol Yisrael. When a person is giving teichacha to one individual, so a lot of times that we understand this very, very pashut, when a person is getting teichacha, he's getting reproof from somebody one-on-one, obviously that reproof, obviously that musr, that teichacha, the correction is felt much stronger by the individual getting it, because he's the only one receiving it. So if you're talking only to me, and I have to take the total blame, or at least you're presenting your way, and showing that I am mistaken, when the individual himself has to stand there in front of the error, and see it before his eyes, being shown the error, it's much more difficult, much more painful. However, if a person is speaking to a group of people, right, we understand this very, I'm very partial, when a person is speaking and he's giving teichacha to a whole class, to a whole group, and you can imagine on Kol Yisrael, he's speaking to all of Kol Yisrael. So when you're doing that, the burden of the embarrassment, the burden of taking in that correction is much less. And yet the Pasuk tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he was giving, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm sorry, was giving this Teichacha, he was giving it to Kol Yisrael, to all of Klal Yisrael, and yet he spoke not straight, he didn't give them Teichacha in a very open way. It was only Beremes. As we see, it was Ba'arava, Malsuf. He didn't say exact what was going on in those places. They were supposed to understand. And Rashi says it was all Beremes. Why Beremes? Says Rashi in the first Rashi. The reason was Beremes was from Lekfoidon Shal Yisrael. Because of the honor of Klal Yisrael. And even so, even though it was to all of Klal Yisrael, this is our pshat. The emphasis, even though it was all of Klal Yisrael, it wouldn't have been such an embarrassment since all of the Klal Yisrael were taking it in. It still was Beremez. It was only hinted at. Why? There's a concept called Kfoidon Shal Yisrael. But this concept I want to develop these days, right before Tisha B'Av, to try to develop this concept of Kfoidon Shal Yisrael, of the honor of Klal Yisrael as a group, and the honor of the individual, the covered of the Mr. Yisrael, the Reb Yisrael. Tisha B'Av is a day of tears. Bochoy Tivke Balaila, we say in Eicha, is a day that Klal Yisrael sheds many tears. And we're living in a generation where that is a very, very difficult concept. Hein Mitzad, a person. Hey, mitzad that a person lives in a society where weeping, where crying, where being tearful is something as a sign of weakness, and nobody wants to be called a weakling. Hey, mitzad, that we're living in a generation where the Navi already said that the hearts will turn to stone, and a stone heart is very to be hard to bring out water from. Only Moshe Rabbeinu could take water out of a stone. The stone heart is very, very, very hard to be mitzvah. But the mitzvah, the chiyuv, the day of Tisha B'Av, is a day that was given for tears. What are we crying about? That's the first point, to know what you're crying about. Tisha B'Av, the day people sit on the floor. We're supposed to be crying. The Chassam Sofer, the Halakha Chassam Sofer, used to sit on the Erev Tisha B'Av on the floor, the Sudas Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av, with Shem Zerucha still to be sitting there, to be in Eretz Yisrael with Mashiach, we shouldn't have to be. But this year we sit, Mashallah Shudas, so we eat the regular meal. But a rare classic Erev Tisha B'Av, during the Kafrahal during the week, you're supposed to sit on the floor. By an area, the Gemara says in Tainis, he sat by the stove, and you sit by the floor in an area that's not so comfortable and not so honorable, and you're supposed to sit there and eat some dark bread with salt, with not a keton shalmayim. He's supposed to say, Zeu Shudash Tisha B'Av Kach, Rabbi Yehuda was knowing, and the Chassam Sofer was knowing this Erev Tisha B'Av. And the Talmidim were made that they saw the Chassam Sofer, they looked through the peephole. Chassam Sofer sat by himself, we suppose he's supposed to sit by himself. And they saw that he sat with a cup next to where he was sitting. And by the end that meal was over, the cup was full. A whole full cup of tears, Rabbi said. Can we imagine, Rabbi said, without ice. So it was all straight tears. And he took a sip. Some servant took a sip of that cup. As the Pasuk says, Vatashkeim v'demoy shlish. He's supposed to drink for the demoys. The Chassam Sofer was able to fill up a cup. They said it was an Adam Gold that tried to do it. He could barely work out even a quarter of a cup. And today, try to get one drop out, Rabbi Yisrael. It's a generation where it's hard to cry. They tell you the famous story, Rabbi Yisrael, of this 1967, a great year. We got back to Kosel, the Kosel Maravi, got back to Yerushalayim. The Nisim and the Flores that took place, that we got back Eretz Yisrael, parts of Eretz Yisrael that was Zircha to go to today, we take it for granted. And when the soldiers came, broke through the gates over there, and were able to conquer the Jordanian army that was pounding them with shells, they came to the Kosel and they blew the shofar, and the soldiers stood by the Kosel and Maravi. Mamish, with eyes on the wall as they couldn't believe it. They were flabbergasted. They were so upheld in emotion. And many of the soldiers started to cry. Seeing the wall, the famous Kosel HaMaravi, the Mokam, the Kosel, the Chazal say, the Oz, Lozozos, Mishkinim, the Kosel HaMaravi. It's unbelievable, Zahra, but so we don't realize that. The Shechina Lo Yisozim Mikodesh HaMaravi, it's an unbelievable place, Rabbi Yisrael. A little commercial injection into the Shmuz. Just from the Mepharsim in Alz Hoigul Hashem Kitoiv. This year after Pesach, I decided, my daughter was getting a little older, and a big line of Shiduchim that I had to. My next daughter was getting also, she was going to get into the parish of marriage. So I decided to try to see what I could do on my part, besides the Downs of Water. But I said, you know what, the yeshiva now is located on Shmuel HaNavi. And I was staying in Rechavi for a tekufa by an apartment over there. So I said, you know what, I'm going to start doing, I'll do 40 days with the Kodesh. Everybody speaks about, you know, and I was always big, you know, staying in yeshiva, and it's takatru. Learning Torah is nothing better, but I had the opportunity. I started to go 40 days of Oisai to the Kosel. I did Taka 37 only. And I asked my wife to be, because I came in for a chasana. And I wasn't able to make the all four. I asked my wife to be my shtir to do the last three in Baruch Hashem. So I know both my daughters just got engaged this summer, Baruch Hashem. I remember going to, and I was saying to myself, I've been here so long, 30 years in Eretz Yisrael. We tried to go. The yeshiva was in once a month. We went with the yeshiva. There are people here who wrote in their diaries. It was the most powerful thing that they enjoyed at the beginning when they first came to yeshiva. And the Maisa, going to the Kodesh, I used to go, try to go at least once a month. But then I started to do this thing of like every day to go to the Kodesh and to appreciate what the Kodesh meant, but with the Kodesh of the Rabbi, the Mokum, outside the Mokum of Migdosh, unbelievable Zach. And these soldiers come and the Kodesh was barred from this, the Kodesh for so many years, and here they were, they had conquered, and the soldiers started to cry. And there was tackle one soldier there that was looking on amazed and looking on them crying. He just stood there and he didn't know. He was still with a bunch of his friends and he's looking on them and they're all crying. And all of a sudden, after like 10 minutes, he burst into tears. So the fellow soldiers asked him, what happened? Mimon of shock. So he said, Ani bocheh beglal she'ein ani bocheh. I'm crying. Because I'm not crying. He saw the emotion of all these soldiers. He didn't know why they were crying. He started to cry because he didn't know what to cry for. So I feel that Tisha B'Av is today for us is a day like that. A day that we want to cry, but maybe we should cry because we don't know why we're crying. What we're crying for of us. The Yisoid that at least one of the Yisoidis, or we could understand and maybe have a little kesher, a little connection to Rabbi Yisrael. This Inyan of the Bechia, and to feel a little bit of a Tisha B'Av about Rabbi Yisrael. I just saw a Gavalda Kavar to a story with Rav Gifta Zatzal. Rav Gifta presented a question to the people that were around him. He asked them a very interesting question. He asked them, people that had visited Eretz Yisrael, that had come to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Gifta asked them a very poignant question. He said, where would a person feel more of an emotion to cry? Would it be more, obviously both places people cry, but where do you feel more emotional? Where would you say, and he asked a group of people, Kever Rachel, the resting place of Mama Rachel, the Helik of Mama Rachel, or the Kaisam Ravi? And Rav Gifta said, most people would probably say that Enoch Anam, they feel a certain spiritual connection by Kaisam Ravi, they feel connected. When a person comes to the Kodesh, he has an extra special feeling. There's something unique about that feeling when you walk to the Kodesh the first time, but the feeling of tears. The person goes to the resting place of Mama Rachel, Kever Rachel. When a person goes to the place where this unbelievable woman has been crying for so many years for her children to return, the emotions get all stirred up. And Rav Gifta said most people probably cry more or more emotional. Again, spiritually connected, it might be to the Kodesh, obviously, the Bereshit Shechina, but the feeling of emotion that you want to cry. Rav Gifta said, by me, it's by the Kodesh HaMaravi. You know why, he said? Because I experienced Churban, he said. I lived for many years, Rav Gifta, when he was a young boy of 17, crossed over the sea, and he went to Tel Yeshiva. And he became the best bacha in Tel Yeshiva, Tel Zalita. And Rav Gifta left in 1939 he was engaged to the daughter of the Rav, the Yeshiri of the year of the city of Zalman Bloch, who was the brother of the Rosh Yeshiva of Rav Yitzhak Bloch. And the Rav Gifta left, he thought he was coming back. And as we all know, the story of World War II, the Holocaust wiped out all tremendous, great, great, great Mekoimis. But Rav Gifta felt it so much in the city of Telz, where he saw the fame, the glory, the greatness of Telz. That was one of his charges after the war, to bring back the spirit of Telz Lita to Cleveland. But Rav Gifta says, and he saw it, and he used to speak about the Yahrzeit of the wiping out of the whole Telz community when they took them out to the forest and they shot all the great men of Telz, the great Balabatim, the great Rosh Yeshivas, the great people of Telz were destroyed. So Rav Gifta said, I experience Churban. I understand what Churban means. One of the greatest, the most powerful, most tremendous cities that I lived in, that I experienced, went down into dust. I experienced Churban, said Rav Gifta. And all Churban stems from Churban Habayis. All Churban. Whatever Churban we see in the world today, all types of Churbanis. And that's why it makes this word of Rav Gifta gives us sheds a tremendous light, Rabbi Yisrael. That we sit on the floor, we say the Guinness. Some of us don't know, Rabbi Yisrael, just a little commercial, Rabbi Yisrael. It's better to say one or two Guinness. I mean, it shouldn't take you 4 hours to say one or two Guinness. But say less Guinness. Every single person should have an art scroll in English and look at the English sign. There's no Indian, Rabbi Yisrael. It's not like davening that you have to daven. The Indian that say every word of tefillah. And it's stomach, you should say all the Guinness also. But the most important thing is to try to understand Rabbi Yisrael and to try to get that heart of stone going, and a person should shed some tears. You're not going to shed tears if you can't pronounce the words, if you have your teeth are hurting you after the kiddush, your jaws are hurting you because you can't say half the words. And you think you're reading a Chinese cookbook and the recipe for wonton soup. And you say afterwards, you're like, you know, these words that you never even saw in Hebrew, words you never imagined, the words are so difficult, you know, what is going on? It's just some very, very hard Hebrew and very poem Hebrew. You know, what's flying? You could be saying the Manishtano or the Mavatul Chometz now. You don't know what's going on over here. There's no Indian voice. You have to understand what you're saying. You can go to a shir, to a place where they explain each kinnis and they discuss each one and they talk about it. Or you could just sit there with an art school, read the English, or whatever. Read the English, the purpose. We have to go for the purpose. Rabbi, you should try to say the words in Hebrew if you can. But the purpose is to get a feeling of mourning, a mourning of Churban, Rabbi Yisrael. And if you look in the Kiddush, we talk about communities in Spain and other places that were wiped out, or not on Tisha B'Av. One was in Tammuz, one was in Sivan, and this, and then they burned Sefer Torah. What does it have to do with Tisha B'Av? Shkoyach, you know, so it's a day of tragedy, so we're talking about all the tragedies that happened. This happened and that happened. And today they have from the Bavli Rebbe, they have kinnis about the Holocaust, you read all the different things. Very nice. What do we talk about? September 1st, 1939, was the start of the Holocaust. It started on Tisha B'Av. It started on September 1st. Maybe there was a certain start on Tisha B'Av. But what does it do with Tisha B'Av? On September 1st, well, September, whatever, Rosh Chodesh Elul was that year. So what does that do with Tisha B'Av? Teretz is every Churban, Rabbi Yisrael. Every Churban, every devastation, every destruction stems from Churban Habayis. And that's why we sit on the floor and we mourn all the different tragedies, because all Churban stems from Churban Habayis. So there, if we could understand that, Rabbi Yisrael, maybe we could take it a step further. It's hard for us, Rabbi Yisrael, if a person can, Try to read Holocaust stories, whatever gets them emotionally attached to these churbanas that took place, Rabbi Yisrael. Even stories that happened in our generation, the churban that happened in this past year in Nissan, here in Flatbush, of a whole family that was wiped out by a fire. That's churban, Rabbi Yisrael. That churban was churban habayis. It all stemmed from churban habayis. And all these churbanas that are taking place, all the tragedies, Rabbi Yisrael, not just a tragedy, it's a sad day, so we talk about tragedy. No, it all stems from Churban Habayis. Every Churban is a takeoff, says that's what gives this big Yisrael. Every Churban is a takeoff, it stems from that Churban Habayis. So therefore, Rabbi Yisai, so if a person can get into the Chutif and Churbanas and understand those Churbanas and maybe shed a tear, so he's associating, he's attaching himself to Churban Abayas, and if he be Yotzi the Yoy. But I think, Rabbi Yisai, there's a bigger tragedy that maybe every single one of us can have a keshet to have a shayachas to us. There's a different Churban that maybe every single one of us has a personal connection to all of us. And that's maybe the Yisoid, HaYisoidus of everything, Rabbi said, what this is all about this day. Eicha Yoshua Badad, as we start off this Lamentations, the Book of Lamentations, the Book of Eicha, Eicha, Yoshua Bado, the story of Klal Yisrael, Eicha, Yoshua Bado, the story of Eretz Yisrael, how are we sitting alone? Ha'ira Basiyam, such a beautiful thing, devastation. What is the word, starts off, the famous word, Eicha? How could it be? Eicha, how could this be? Where do we see this? Chazal Darshan is a Medrash. Eicha was said three times. We have it in this week's parash. We're going to be laying in Parashat Dvarim. Everybody knows before this first Aliyah, the end of the second Aliyah, we start off with a different puzzle. We go into Eicha Esolavadi Torachem Umazachem Mirivchem. We start off with Eicha Esolavadi, and after Eicha Hoysol Zoyna, how to become to a Zoyna. They related, they were even lower. And Eicha, Yoshua Badar, Moshe, Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, they were all misnabbed with the word Eicha. And the Goyim Yaakov Miliso says that the Pshad is, when Moshe saw the Bishalvasil, he said Eicha. Eicha means, how could this be? And Yirmiyah and Yeshaya saw them be churbanim and said, Ayeich Eicha, how could this be? And the same Eicha, according to the deceivers, Eicha here to Torachem Mazachem, means he was talking about the greatness of Klal Yisrael. The greatness of Klal Yisrael. They were such an unbelievable nation, I can't handle them myself. They're so unbelievable. We need more judges, we need more people, they're so great. That's him, Eicha. Was the taina later on that's just so great and Pesuas is so special, Pesuas is so unique. So even the smallest Aveira by them is something great. Eicha Hayisal Zoyna was Nechshav Zoyna, and slowly the deterioration of the Klal Yisrael as a nation led to Eicha Yoshua Badar. How could it be? So says the Nesivos, that's the three Eichos. Both have this, all of these same Yisoy, the greatness of Klal Yisrael. The Kvoidan Shal Yisrael. The greatness of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was giving that to Chocho and Elashna of Remos because they're such a great people. We're such a fantastic nation. And Moshe Rabbeinu, with all, he has to tell them, it's all Beremes. The Kvoidan Shal Yisrael. This is a great nation. To give them to Echocha, it's a straightforward, I can't. They're such an amazing nation. They have so much koichas. Klal Yisrael is a different being altogether. They're a higher level. They're our existence. They're not like regular people. Regular people, we can give them to Echocha. But Kvoidan Shal Yisrael, Kvoidan Shal Yisrael demands a different type of anhaga. Shabbeinu has to give him Teichoch in a different language. But I want to take us back even further. Where does this word Eicha stem from? We go all the way back, Rabbi said, to the beginning of history. In the beginning of history, Adam Harishai, the greatest of humans to ever exist. So the Gemara tells the Chagiga that Adam HaRishon was created with an unbelievable koyach. He was able to see from one end of the world to the next. His koyma was kemat all the way up to Shamayim. He was an unbelievable human being, human species. And the Torah tells us that he ate, he was nichshal from eating from the Eitz Hadas. They took from the tree, they were seduced into eating it. Their eyes opened up. They saw they were naked. They attached themselves a leaf of a te'ena tree, they make belts for themselves, and they hear the voice of Hashem, they hear Hashem coming towards them, they hide within the trees of Gan Eden. Vayikro Adonai Elohim El Odom Vayoyim Eloi Ayekor. Hashem calls out to Odom Arishoyim and he says, Vu Bistu, where are you? Ayekor. Vayoyim Eskolcho Shomati Begon Vayiro. What he says, so Adam answers, I heard your voice, I was afraid. He ate on my life, for I'm naked. As Rashi says, and I hid. Who told you that you're naked? Says Rashi, where is this das to know, to have the embarrassment that for somebody to stand naked, you weren't embarrassed to stand naked all of your life in the beginning. Where's this embarrassment? Where's this busha? Where's this shame coming from? What have you done to be so ashamed of your guf? Your guf was created with perfection. Your guf was holy. Your guf was so great. There's no embarrassment in your guf. Your guf is a species that never in the history of the world will and will ever be. Your guf, you can see from one end of the world to the next. It's the greatest revelation of a human species that ever existed. What are you ashamed of? Ayeka! Where are you? Where are you? Hashem doesn't know where he was. He knew where he was. But Ayeka, where are you? Ayeka, where are you? Where is the Adam that I created? Who didn't have embarrassment. There was no embarrassment to stand with such a body in front of me. And the word Ayeka, the Medrash Darsh is a takeoff on the word Eicha. Eicha, how could it be? How could it be? The soul is very deep, Rabbi Zayin. That we created with such koichas. We have such power. Such an unbelievable ability to connect to God. To be connected on the deepest level. Like, you know what churban there is today that we have to mourn? That shtam that stems from churban habayis is the churban ha'odah. The devastating destruction of the human race, Rabbi said. Which if we had, which you understood, and we thought about it for a minute, Rabbi said, we'd sit on the floor and maybe fill up a cup of tears for the terrible, terrible, devastating, destructiveness of the human race, Rabbi said. And I'm not just talking in the Jewish people. We'll get to that. We're talking of the human race, that a country that stands for human rights, but a country that's looked up at the world as one of the most honorable countries, and their Supreme Court could pass a law that's not just the state, but the entire nation has passed, they've passed the United States Supreme Court that same gender marriages are permitted and men could live with men. Devastation! How, where have we come to? Ayeka! Where is the human being created so great to come to such a level that everybody understood in all the generations that this wasn't meant to be? That the Kodesh Baruch Hu made the Isha. That's the norm. And to have two men to be able to live together, to be same gender marriage, it's sickening, but it's even worse. It's a revelation of the degradation of the human race. You tell me that people do it against the law, okay, this, but it should become a legal law. It should become permitted. When people should have heard that, should have torn their garments and said, this is what we've come to. And it's not long before we're going to see standing under the wedding canopy a man and a horse. Will you marry me? What was that? Yes or no? It's funny. I saw someone was telling me just recently a new thing here in America. Bar mitzvahs. They ripped it back to the door. He's 2 years old, which is 13 in dog years. If anybody hasn't learned the laws. They put a talis on him with a kippah. Baruch Hu! The Shem Yirachim, Rabbi Yisai. And they all dance with the dog. Mazel Tov! Well, we made a mistake. It's a she-dog. She was bat mitzvah last year. Hashem Yirachim, your boy said. What are we getting? Where are we going to? How low can the human race go? The definition of a human race, we've created men and women, that the Metzias in the entire universe until the Stoim, yeah, Stoim, they made it a little also, but we know what happened to Stoim afterwards. It wasn't a happy ending. A little salty ending over there. And the United States Supreme Court gives a head to this, but I said, we're not fools, we're not alone, it's gonna be bestiology, it's gonna be mutter. There'll be no more horsing around, there'll be real marriages. Monkeys and apes under the chuppah. Horses and men, dogs and women, rabbits and children. Catch the bride. The human race, if I say. A yakov, where's the human? The world could be so taken about, Rabbi Sai. Technology has taken over the human mind. The phones are bigger than they're getting bigger and bigger. So they'll be bigger than the people. People are becoming smaller and smaller. And phones are becoming bigger and bigger. But let's not even speak about the size of the phone. I was taken over a person's mind. The person doesn't have the opportunity to think. And we have to make this distinction, Rabbi Yisai. Because we're not telling that technology can't be used for good. When the phone was created, when the children was created, the Chofetz Chaim said it could be used for Torah. If a person is in control of himself and is not meshubit to the electronics, to the technology, it can be used as a tool to create more time in his life. But on the other hand, he could become enslaved to a piece of machine, totally enslaved to it. I was in the car recently, and I was making a joke. So a guy was, a Talmud was with me. He had a phone that they have this thing called a lady. You speak. It does. You see, I forgot the name of this.
Siri,
whatever her name is. He tells you anything. He says, "Watch this, Rebbe. Did the Yankees win last night?" And right away, before he got it out of his mouth, "The Yankees won," whatever it happened. "I want directions. How long does it take?" Within seconds. So I asked, "You know what? Yes, the phone. If he'll will you marry me?" And I asked it. And the phone replied, I heard it in my ears, in my side. "You're not the first one to ask this question." That means there's people out there, boy, say, asking their phones to marry you. We don't have to go to dogs. Dum 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 dum. Mazel tov. That a person's whole brain has been taken away by the phone, by technology, myself. No one can add anymore, myself. It's not a joke. 6 plus 6, 1 second. Let me get out my calculator, my thing. I'll tell you in a second. Here's Sari. She's never wrong with this phone. No one thinks anymore, myself. One of my biggest issues is why so many people are going to psychologists today. You go out of the world, it's thousands, billions, millions of people going for therapy. It's a very good thing. It's a different shmooze. I hold the therapy very much. The whole thing should be, we have to change the name. The stigma of therapy is a bad name. It should be called Musa. But the people are going psychological problems. You know why about that? Because no one can think for themselves. They can't think. So as soon as it why, because everything is problem solved by that box. Any problems, Siri will take care of it. If not Siri, you have another app for it. Take care of the problem. Where do I have to go now? No more asking the GPS. What do I have to do now? Calculator tells me. What my phone tells me. What should I wear today? My phone tells me. Am I dressed nice? My phone tells me. I don't have to think anymore. I don't want to think. My brain, the most powerful and the most unbelievable tool that a human being has, but his brain, is being made into silly putty. There's nothing up there anymore. I'm a silly putty. Jelly beans. Red and yellow jelly beans up there. Go on with a microscope looking at whatever, one of those things that looks into the eyes, jelly, total jelly, peanut butter and jelly up there. You make your brain so soft that the brain doesn't work for you. It used to be that people were problem solvers. They had a problem, they would think through, how do we get through this? Now, okay, let's go to the web. Maybe they deal with this problem. Read it up online. This is what you have to do. 10 steps, boom, boom, boom. You're over. No thought. What do we do with our lives? No thought. Let's ask the web. And slowly a person's brain begins to dissolve. So maybe a problem dissolves, and they can't take care of it. And somehow he goes into trauma. The world's suffering because they're not using their brains. Not only not using their brains, they're not using their bodies. There's no physical activity anymore with that. There used to be a thing called basketball, an ancient custom that Bachram used to play. Now he's got, you want to play? Not really. What do you want to do? I want to go to my bed. What are you going to do there? I'll play on my phone. Sit on my bed and touch. I'll play basketball. I can play basketball like this. My fingers. Many people's fingers are very skinny today. Skinny fingers and fat bodies. Skinny fingers, we're calling them from now on. All day playing, I play baseball, basketball, whatever sport you want. I have to go out there and get a sweat in my room. I just hit a nice jump shot. Even Sari told me. So there's no physical activity. body becomes, the human body itself, Rabbi, once it was a thing, it was physical activity. I remember shaking my grandfather's hands. He had big, big hands. My father, I think he was a butcher. He worked in a butcher shop. Big hands, work, you know, work with your hands, hard work. Who works with your hands today? Nothing. Can't get anybody to do anything. Even the plumbing, what should he do? He looks it up online. He has a special machine. Takes out the drain. He has to go in there with a plunger stick. You know, now he has a single thing. Trying to think, 250 dollars. Didn't do anything. This is a thing that went in there and took everything out. So you go to a doctor in America, so it's unbelievable. Doctor used to come in, used to examine you, tell you, you know, this, check your body now. Think about a computer. Okay, which part of the body hurts? Okay, left nostril. Left nostril. Says you should take this. Okay, see you. I said, where was I? By a typist? Who did I just visit? A doctor? Didn't see him. There was no doctor here. He just typed left. It came up on his thing, picture of the body. What do you do for this? Left nostril hurts. Typed it in. Paper came out. Prescription. Faxed it over to the pharmacy with a button. And in my doorstep came was delivered the medicine for my left nostril. Unbelievable. He didn't have to do nothing. The doctor didn't do anything. The technology is making everything so much easier. Now, you shouldn't make a mistake. If it's easier, we could accomplish more. But when it makes it easier in a way that makes us dysfunctional, there's the danger. When it takes away our ability to choose, when it takes our ability to think, when it takes our ability to be active physically, that's a destruction of the human body. The Chovas Avos writes, "Kol Mashi Nitoisef Binyan Ba'olam, Nitoisef Churban Ba'adam." And this is the Bechir Rabbi Yisai. But it's even more so, Rabbi Yisai, for the Yid, Rabbi Yisai. Because the Yid is a higher existence than the Yustam, the human. Kfoydan Shal Yisrael. Klai Yisrael is a whole different world. That's what the Nesivis is learning. That's why Ayekah. Eicha, Yoshua, Moshe, Shavasan, you're such a great nation. I can't judge you myself. You're so much great people. You're so high. And they went down with small, these chaton, they brought them down. Eishva, Yoshua, Madod. A nation that was so high in the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Today, we walk around and people are dead, ruchnias wise. They're walking around, they're bubbling out words from their mouth, and maybe benching in tefillah, and is dead inside. We should sit down on the floor and cry. These kids, 14 years old today, Michal Shabbos, he just put on tefillin yesterday. He's waiting. Okay, he got turned off, 18, 19, 20. He's turned off! He didn't get turned on yet! He's 13 in 2 days! Oh, he had one day to get turned on. He has bar mitzvah, the next day is Michal Shabbos. 13 and 14 year old kids are going to say, Eicho! How could it be? The churban of the human, the churban of the yid. Shabbos is a yid. That's the tower of Shabbos. The Chofetz Chaim says all the mitzvahs, but if a person doesn't have Shabbos, it's missing the chetz of the yid. Like a store owner calls man the sign still up. So you're not sure if things are going up, but once they take the sign down, you know the store's not functioning anymore. Shabbos! It used to be in the Klaus on the history, okay, they all kept Shabbos, they have this, that, but Shabbos, today it's not so simple. You have to ask a question, does he keep Shabbos? A new Shidduch question. It used to be a question, how much does he learn? What about Shabbos? Does he text on Shabbos? He's a Shabbos texter. Hashem Yirachim. I said, what happened? Ayeko! Eicho Yoshua Madod! To sit on the floor and to cry over the Churban HaAdam! That I think we all could connect to, I said. to really sit and kind of think what's going on, how slowly we see the whole world crumbling in front of us. The human as a whole, and the Yiddishkeit, the Yidden, Rabbi said. And not to take away from us the great things that are going on, but so many Yidden are lost. So many Yidden are totally crumbled. They don't know the Kfoyin in Shal Yisrael. They're missing out on the greatness. They're missing out on that unbelievable person that called the Yid, Rabbi said. The Adam that's above all human race. That just like these four levels of existence, the Doimim, says the Kuzari, the Doimim, the Tzoymeach, the Balchai, and the Medaber, there's a higher level of existence called the Yisrael. And the way above. And the nation that's close, a Memlechas Kohen and Vigoy Kadosh. And a nation that can be so close to Kodesh Baruch, the Makabele Torah. Ayeka. Where are you? Where are you? Ayeka. And that's what we have to mourn about. Because all that churban, the churban of the communities, the churban ha'olam, and the churban ha'odom, stamped from churban ha'bayis. Any churban, it's yisoid, its foundation, source, is churban habayis. That if the Beis HaMikdash would be standing today, and the Beis HaMikdash would be there, would be able to be, see the glory, be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a different level. When we had the Beis HaMikdash, we distanced ourselves, and that's why it fell. But if we were able to build that Beis HaMikdash with that, with the Kohen, with the Beis HaMikdash represented, but they went up three times a year, the leader of the regal says the Moran Babas Vachafal Toysvis says over there, they would walk away so inspired, just seeing the Qur'an Bhavidosim, Levim Duchanam, seeing the Nisim of the Beis HaMikdash, people walk away for the whole three, whatever, the 4 or 5 months between the Moedim, they would walk away, they wouldn't need anything. The whole life was changed overnight by seeing them. The spirituality. The feeling of closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Korbanos, which was Makarivas to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're in a different land, with a different level, with a different plateau. We walk away so mechuzik, Rabbi Yisrael. The Adam Hashalei, the great individual called the Yid, had such tremendous godless, Rabbi Yisrael. And it showed its way not only in the Ruchnias, in the Gashmias, Rabbi Yisrael. The Gashmias. They had so much Klal Yisrael, because all the Shefa, as I was saying, the Gemara Ksuvah, Mizbeach, Mefarnes, Mizbeach brings Parnosa, brings Bracha, brings Hatzlach, Rabbi Yisrael. And all the terrible things that we see, the Anius, and the terrible tragedies going on, and the divorce, Rahman al-Islam, it's all over the world, Rabbi Yisrael. Terrible divorcing, signs up, divorcing, 399, dial 971-6732. Within 24 hours, you'll be single again. The first time I saw this on, I grew up as a child. Who would even talk up and say the word? And here, big billboards. $3.99. You go down the block, you get it for $2.75. What's happening? What's going on? Marriage was by everybody an important thing. And you go around the world, the marriages are crumbling. By Yidden, Rabbi Yisrael. What happened? What's happening to us? Human being is slowly becoming crunched. Slowly becoming a non-existing entity. Slowly being crumbled, Rabbi Yisrael. This is a churban that everybody can relate to. This is what a person has to cry, has to mourn. Because if we had back the Beis HaMikdash, all these Chorbanos would be binyan, Rabbi said. It would be binyan in the world. It would be binyan ha'odom. It would be binyan in Klal Yisrael, in marriages. Call Megarish Ishtar Yishonis the Gemara Soif Gittin. If you divorce your first wife, Afilo Mizbeah, married to love the Mois. The Mizbeah was made to make Shalom and understand that And if the Mizbeach would cry, how could it be such a, even one divorce? But to see him, 2 weeks, they're married for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, Hashem used to always say, how's it shayach? They went on dates to 10, 15, whatever dates together, they were compatible. All of a sudden, 3 weeks, you know? A month, 3 months, what happened? What's going on? And the answer is very simple. There's no Adam anymore. There's no human. We're not human anymore. Maybe everything becomes so easy, and there's no work. No one wants to work on a problem. No one wants to develop the characteristics. That's what marriage is about. You have somebody else that's a little different, and you work on yourself. You know, to move out. You know, no one wants to work on themselves anymore. Just give me my own pleasure. Give me my phone, and let me lay on my bed. I don't want to have to do anything. If I didn't have to do anything, I would just stay here 24/7, 34/7, and just play on my phone every single stupid little thing in my life. I'd be busy all day and all night if I didn't have to work. There's no such mitzvah for myself. That's a churban that everybody can relate to. And that's what we have to speak to ourselves. Ayeko, where is that great individual that I am? But the purpose is not just to sit there and cry and say, it's terrible. The purpose is that Tisha B'Av is the Aschola Rabbeisai. Right after Shtar Teshiva the Nechamta, and we go right into the Yom Neiroim, we go into Chodesh Elul Rabbeisai. The whole Yisoid of Tisha B'Av is supposed to be the springboard to realize and to cry and to feel the pain of Ayeka. It says, Olam HaRishon started his process of Tshuva after that. 130 years, he understood that this is not who he's supposed to be, and he wants to correct it. That's what tshuva is all about, Rabbi Yisrael. The springboard, the scholar for the Yom Neroyim, Rabbi Yisrael, starts on Tisha B'Av. When you sit on that floor, I realize every individual in that life, how much better we could be, how much churban is my life, how much churban in the family, in the neighbors, and every around us. We see just churban left and right, Rabbi Yisrael. The guy was telling me that there's no family that doesn't have somebody in the family who's off, who's off the derech, who's off the this, who's off the that. Churban, all around us, Rabbi Yisrael. We have to start the road back, Rabbi Yisrael. We have to get those, marriage that churban. Think about it. Feel it really deep inside of us. Let out some tears, Rabbi Yisrael. Tears are the sweat of the souls of Hirsch. Tears mean that I really feel the loss. When a person cries, he feels the loss. Feel the loss of the situation because a person thinks, okay, that's how it's supposed to be, Rabbi. Don't take it easy, Rabbi. This is how it's supposed to be. This is life. No, it's not supposed to be this way. It's not supposed to be. This is horrible. Because when the Beis Hamikdash is not built, the Yerushalmi says, Kilu Nechrav. It's like it's destroyed. What does that mean? It's already destroyed. The Teretz is that more Churban is going to come out, Chas V'Shalil. You say, okay, we don't have the basis. Nothing can get worse. No, but if the basis is not missed, it's Kilu Nechrav. That means the soil, if we were saying, maybe is that there's more Churban. How are we going to stop this tide? The only way, everybody says, is to really mourn it, to feel it, and to say to myself, listen, I can't change the world. I can't change my city. I may not even be able to change my family. But there's one person who I can work on. And that's myself. Let me realize in my own self how much I could be so much better. I could be so much more closer to Kadosh Baruch. I know I have certain things that are no good for me. I have a churban in my life. Things that are bringing me down. Things that Kadosh Baruch could ask, Ayeko, here's that great individual, that unbelievable individual that you are with a great brain and a great heart, and what you're involved in with such stupidities, that I could sit more on Tisha B'Av and feel maybe I could be even better, and most probably I could be better. And to start the road back, Rabbi Yisrael, to start to say, you know what? The Gemara says in Taizayv Tainas, Tu B'Av is a time when it was supposed to Moisiv in Torah. Let me add a little bit of Ruchlius into my life. I start to to rebuild. It's the parasha right after Voschanon is the first parasha. Aseres Atimbro is right after. Teretz is Rabbi Akiva Kamenetsky says after Churban, we have to rebuild from the start. The basics, the foundations. Let's get back to the basics, the third and over the Ten Commandments. Get our lives going again, reconnect everybody, and get rid of all the stuff that's pulling us away. Really make a cheshbon and nefesh, how I could make some start, some small kabbal, to get back to who I could be, to who I really could be. And hopefully by each individual, even small amounts of groups, start to make that change, everybody. Start to come back, to open up a Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem only has, peacefully Pesach, Yechut HaShem Machal, a little pinhole, open for me. A real pinhole, open that pinhole. A small little hole, that gives a right that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should come in. And Yeftach Lachem, Kepischo Shel Ulam. Maybe, it's not so, that's the memory of Chazal, maybe there's something teeth to that, Kepischo Shel Ulam. The Pesach of the Beis HaMikdash is the Pischo Shel Ulam, Rabbi Yisrael. It's a very wide Pesach. But we describe maybe Pischo Shel Ulam, that if we open up that Pesach in our hearts to want to rebuild the Pischo Shel Ulam, maybe Taka will bring about the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem knows how difficult it is. He knows how difficult this generation. You have to realize that also. That the smallest little change, the smallest little chizik, the smallest little thing you do for the Ibn Shalom, the smallest little thing you do for yourself in this charge by Zach, is Nechshav, is an unbelievable, unbelievable tikkun. We should be zeichut to open up that little Pesach. That should lead and be the doorway and the pathway to the opening of the Pischo Shel Ulam. The entrance to the Beit HaMikdash, Bevias Vashiach Tzidkenu, and there if you're in there, Amen.